sermon this morning is from Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 23. Please turn with me there. Mark chapter 2, starting with 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields with his disciples walking along. They began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Now this is translated another time, but a literal translation is, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. And he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." Pray with me. Our God, we beg for you to open our hearts and minds to understand your word. Father, we plead with you to calm my heart and to help me speak clearly so that we would know how you would have us live and apply your word to our hearts. Father, please be glorified in the preaching of your word. Father, please be glorified in the hearing of your word. And Father, please be glorified in the application of it in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this scenario, it takes place in the second year of Christ's ministry. It's loosely called the year of popularity. It's just after the Passover. Jesus has not ordained his apostles yet. He has many disciples following him, but he hasn't grabbed the 12 and appointed them his apostles. But this is right around the corner. So Jesus is walking and his disciples are walking with him. And as they're going, they grab some grain on their way to the synagogue to worship. Now this isn't a violation of the Sabbath. It was a violation to harvest on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees had their own laws. The Pharisees had their own rules put together. And it's clear that it wasn't a sin. And it wasn't a violation of the law. So we shouldn't think for a second that the disciples of Jesus could get away with sin in his presence. So Christ is confronted by these Pharisees who say, "Why are they doing what is unlawful?" Now it's important to notice what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus does not say, "Well, I'm canceling the Sabbath." That's not the excuse, and that's not the reason. He is not saying the Sabbath is being fulfilled, so we're done with it. But what does Jesus answer? This has thrown me off for a long time. Verse 25, and he answered, "Have you never read what David did?" Now my response to this for a long time has been, so what? Because David did something, that makes it okay? David murdered Uriah. Does that make murder okay? So what's Christ saying? We're going to look at that. You see, what is Christ saying? Why does he point to something David did? Now the issue with the Pharisees, we can look and think that their hearts were hardened in response to Christ, but that's not the case. We can look and think that their hearts were hardened in response to the gospel, and in response to Christ's words, but that's not the case. The reality is the presence of Christ revealed the hardness of their hearts. Now you and I struggle with the same situation that the Pharisees struggle with. You see, when they're confronted with the reality of Christ, their hearts are revealed. But you and I, when we are confronted with God's commands and we do not keep them, the hardness of our hearts is revealed. You have to decide how you're going to deal with that and how you're going to work with it. You see, what we are supposed to do and what the Scripture would have us do is to love the Lord of the Sabbath in action and in truth. And how does love for God play out? Love for God plays out as we keep His commands. And for Christ to be called the Lord of the Sabbath is to call Him God. Christ is God. Now we look in Acts chapter 15. One of the great things we see is that Pharisees were converted. Pharisees became Christians. And so there's Pharisees standing here and Christ is saying, "I am Lord of the Sabbath." You have to think, some of those Pharisees were looking back and forth and starting to get it. Starting to realize the reality here. And that's the prayer this morning, that as you look at Christ as Lord of the Sabbath and see that the Sabbath, Jesus didn't erase it. You know, this came from creation. This is, in effect, it's applied a little differently, but it is in effect, and to obey Christ and to glorify Him as Lord of the Sabbath is to keep Christ's commands. And that is to show that we love Him. Look with me at verses 23 through 28. We're going to be looking at Jesus saying that He is Lord of the Sabbath and pointing to David. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as His disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to Him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Now the Pharisees were looking forward to the, well, they claimed to be looking forward to the Son of David and to the one who would redeem them and would sit on the throne. So when Jesus is confronted and they say, "What are you doing? What are your disciples doing?" He doesn't make excuses. And he doesn't decide to argue the law with them and point it particularly and say, well, they're not harvesting, they're just grabbing some grain. What Jesus is actually doing here and saying is, do you know who you're messing with? Do you know who you're talking to and who you are confronting? David, in this section of Scripture, he was on the fly. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 21. At that time, King David was the one who was rightfully anointed the king. That is who he was at that point. The rightfully anointed king who had not yet been put on the throne. So then they ask Jesus, what are they doing? He says, look at David, the rightfully anointed king, not yet on the throne, and what he did. Who is Christ at this point? Jesus Christ at this point in his ministry is the rightfully anointed king, not yet on the throne. So Christ is showing them, I am Lord of the Sabbath. And then in chapter 3, he lays out what we are supposed to do, what this is supposed to look like in response to him as Lord of the Sabbath. So honor Christ as Lord of the Sabbath. Now, we should not think that the Lord's Day is done away with. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John refers to the Sabbath as the Lord's Day. Meaning that he is king of that day. It is his. We rise in the morning and we enter into his day. We spend our time throughout the day and it is his day. So what does it mean to honor Christ as Lord of the Sabbath? It means to obey him. It means to honor him. It means to keep his commands. Look with me back in Isaiah 58 where we read how the Sabbath was supposed to play out. Verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. See, how beautiful is that? How wonderful is that idea that this has been given? This is who God is. This is what he has proclaimed. So do not harden your hearts to Christ as the Lord of the Sabbath. See, we're called to love Christ in action. We don't simply say we love him. We do not simply sing that we love him. But we are to show it by performing it. By being who we are and how we live our lives. Think if you had someone in your life that said, I love you. And constantly said, I love you. Would even sing to you, I love you. But they never showed it in any way that really mattered. They never expressed it in action. They never expressed it in deed. See, that would reveal a hardened heart. We look at the Pharisees. Look with me at verses 4 and 6. 4 through 6. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. What should the response be? What should the response be when it's declared the Lord of the Sabbath is in your midst? What should the response be when a man who's been crippled and unable to work is healed? The response should be rejoicing, and the response should be a willing obedience, a humble bowing of the head and obeying and rejoicing in Christ. But they plotted to kill him. You see, that was the hardness of their hearts. But the hardness of your heart and my heart is revealed when we break his commands. What should the response be? What should your response be to the Lord of the Sabbath being in your midst? What should your response be to the crippled and the broken healed? Those whose lives should be rent asunder and they should be killed. And they are healed and saved. What should your response be? But rejoicing in obedience. You see, we look at the Sabbath as if it were a burden. We look at it as if it's these rules of do's and don'ts, and it's like, oh, this heavy yoke has been placed on my shoulders, or pretend as if someone else is trying to place it on your shoulders. But remember, the Sabbath is made for you. Look with me at verse 27. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for you, not man, for the Sabbath." You see, Christ made the Sabbath in the beginning when he created everything, even before man. A day of rest when he ceased from his labor, the work that he did. But it was already made for you. Think of a day where you are no longer expected, no longer required to do your work of the other 6 days. Those of you who teach, you don't have to go there that day. Those of you who would go to a mill, you wouldn't have to go there that day. All these other burdens, all these other things are taken off of you. And that day, God tells you not only that it's okay, but he tells you, this is the day. This is the day for you to rest. This is your day to come to me. This is your day to worship. See, that was made for you. So many people run after vacations. They run after the beach once a year. Run after this and run after that. Because they're dying, they're exhausted, they need to get away, they need their break, they need their escape. When the reality is, that break and that escape is supposed to come after 6 days. And you are to rest. And you are to turn to your God. And you are to rejoice. Now the Sabbath was made for you, but that doesn't mean that it was made to do with it as you please or whatever you want. When I was a kid, my parents used to go on vacation for a week, and my grandparents would come and live with us. And they would watch us for that week, and things would get a little nutty around. There were new rules, and there were rules that weren't there anymore, and we would take different liberties. One night, my grandmother made this great meal. We had pork chops and mashed potatoes. And they were great. And we sat down and we looked at this food. And at one point, my grandmother left and went to the kitchen. And my grandfather looked away. And my brother thought, that pork chop looks like a good thing to slap my brother in the face with. So he grabbed the pork chop and whacked me across the head and put it back on his plate before anybody knew what was going on. So the next time my grandmother turned, or my grandfather turned, my brother got mashed potatoes in his ear. You see, these things were made for me. We got in trouble. Why? They were for us, weren't they? Yes, they were for us, but not to do with them whatever we wanted. It's absurd to think, look at the Sabbath, oh, it was made for me, so I can do whatever I want. No, it was made for you, yes, but it was made for you for something specific. It was made for you to rest, and it was made for you to worship, and it was made for you to do good. Yet we take it, the Sabbath, like that pork chop. We do whatever we want with it. It's wrong. It's inappropriate. It is to be received with gratefulness and used the way God has called us to use it. To break the Sabbath is to not take Christ seriously. Because He has said He is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 5, Mark 3, 5. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. You see, the Pharisees were not taking Christ seriously. And Christ was angry. We have to look at our own Sabbath keeping and ask, are we taking Christ seriously? Are you taking Christ seriously? Are you taking His command to cease, to stop from your labor of the other days and turn to Him seriously? In Ezekiel chapter 20, the church in the Old Covenant was dealing with this problem. Verse 21. But the children rebelled against me. They did not follow my decrees. They were not careful to keep my laws. Although the man who obeys them will live by them. And they desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in the desert. We look at the church across the country, and Sabbath has been done away with. It wasn't that long ago when shops weren't open. Stores weren't open on the Lord's Day. Has it been the influence of Christ that has caused us to change, or has the culture changed us against Christ? Has God changed in the last 30 years? Did He change His mind? No. Sabbath is to be a day of rest. And so often in Scripture we see that the breaking of Sabbath is cause for judgment. Is our church judged? Is the church of God judged for not keeping the Sabbath? Is our nation being judged for not keeping the Sabbath? Is the wrath being poured out on our culture, on our children, on our unborn children, as hearts are led astray? Take Christ seriously as Lord of the Sabbath. This is His command. And His commands and His law are nothing to be taken lightly. or scoffed at. Do good on the Sabbath. Look with me at verse 4. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. Do good on the Sabbath. Pray to God from your heart on the Sabbath. Worship God from your heart on the Sabbath. Visit the sick, the lonely. Care for the needs of the downtrodden on the Sabbath. And do not run after your own plans and your own ideas. But rejoice in what God has done and labor. See, that which is lawful on every other day, on the Sabbath, actually becomes evil. Because it's rebellion against God's word. And rebellion against Christ. Do no evil on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not to be defined as simply stopping from activities, but stopping from the kind of activity that you labor in on every other day, on 6 days. Verse 4. Again, then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Again, breaking the Sabbath is evil. Breaking the Sabbath shows a hardened heart against God's commands. And as His children, you must take Christ seriously. Take His law seriously. Take His day seriously. Obey Him and rejoice in Him. Take the day that was made for you and use it as God has instructed. Enter into His rest and rejoice. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for Your commands. And our Father, we thank You for the day that You made for us in creation. Father, this isn't something that came out of the ceremonial law, but that the ceremonial law built on it. We see that You set this example for us in creation. You set this example for us in Your Son. So, Lord, please help us to live and to obey and to glorify You. Please help us to rest today, to worship today, and to minister to others. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.